Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. Today, we're going to be talking about flipping houses. That is turning over properties in a really tight time frame. We're talking 10 weeks for cash flow in property. So true flippers are those property entrepreneurs who want to make property their full-time job. They're passionate about it. They sleep, eat, and breathe it. And that means that they need some way to support themselves in property. So your classic flipper uses selling houses, trading houses, buy, renovate, and sell to make money. And that is usually their bread and butter. And some will do property as a side hustle, so flipping one or two flips a year to support or augment their traditional income through their job. So flipping can be anything that gives you an income through property. You take a few crumbs, you don't get the capital growth, and you manufacture your own growth in property. Which brings us to the next point is, how do you flip in a market like this one that's really hot? So many of our students and graduates in the DGI community use flipping for cash flow. In fact, they will have, so serious are they about property, and they have property under their microscope 24/7, that they will have some properties that they flip for cash flow. They will have other properties that they may develop or have a longer term idea with. They'll have Airbnbs on the side for cash flow, and they'll have buy and holds as they build up a portfolio. So many, many irons in the fire there. But in this episode, let's just focus on flipping. And when we talk about flipping, let's confine it to properties that you buy in order to sell and take a profit. So the first thing in a hot market when it comes to flipping is there's always going to be a lot of competition. And because of competition, because demand is greater than supply, people will overpay. So when it comes to an unpolished gem, something that's ripe for renovation or manufacturing that capital growth we were talking about, you're going to get a fair bit of competition, not just from other flippers, because let's face that in a hot market, everyone sees property as the next big thing. Everyone wants to make a quick buck on property, and that's what flipping is. The market is helping with some heavy lifting, so prices are rising anyway, and prices are going up organically in the 3 months that it takes to renovate and flip a property, as well as everything else on top, the uplift being gravy. But you're not just competing against all the other flippers who've entered the marketplace. You're also competing against people who want to buy and hold for the longer run. So even first-time home buyers are buying their dream home, and they have a longer game plan. They may renovate it over time. They may be able to only afford unrenovated, or they may not care what it looks like now because it's their forever home, and in 20 or 30 years, it may be knocked down and they will have rebuilt on the land. And you're also competing against, when it's unpolished gems like that, it may even be a knockdown that developers or knockdown rebuild people are wanting to acquire. So you're pretty much up against everyone in the property market when you're talking about flipping. So in this market, it's really important to get a competitive advantage. What does that mean? A couple of ways you can do that. The first is just showing up, and that means covering the field. So many of our students will go to literally 20 open homes on a Saturday. As a flipper, it's their full-time business, so Saturday is a work day for them. And it becomes a part of their work routine. On the Friday night, they'll go through realestate.com.au, they'll earmark, they'll filter all the properties that fit their bill. Usually they'll look for things like three-bedroom, one-bathroom places because they don't build them like that anymore. So if they filter by three-bed, one-bath, they usually know that it's an older 60s, 70s house, and there's uplift there for renovators, especially a structural renovation. They can turn a three-bedroom, one-bathroom into a four-bedroom, two-bathroom. So they love doing that. So you'll find your filters, and they may be other things. You may know the area. A lot of flippers are area experts, so they know what that market wants. They know what's available in that market. They know streets intimately. So on a very granular level, they'll know, oh, that area is largely unrenovated. That pocket there has two brand new houses and the rest are 70s houses. And they'll also look for the last time that a property sold. So tools like RP Data will give you a lot of intricate data at a granular level where you can actually filter and sort properties by whether they're renovated or not. Also keyword searches, because it will often say, like if you search STCA, subject to council approval, often they'll be sold that way. Like you can do this or XYZ, or you can add a bathroom or write for an addition or a second story, STCA, subject to council approval. So it will weed out ones that are on the market that have some uplift potential, which is great for flipping. But remember, if it's structural, if you're adding on an addition or an extra bedroom, it's going to take longer, it's going to cost more. But as with anything, greater risk, longer hold time, also greater profits and rewards. You're going to, the more you change a property, the more you add to its value, traditionally, and subject to the area, of course. But if you know in a certain area, as an area expert, that four bedroom, two bathrooms sell for a certain amount, and three bedrooms, one bathroom sell for a lot less, you're trading on the disparity in the market. That's your arbitrage there, the difference where you can, like with any business, profit in a business is when you can provide a market, a hungry market, with something that it wants, that it's willing to pay you more for than the cost it is to you to deliver that product. So if we're talking widgets and I'm just an entrepreneur and the market wants to buy widgets and the market will pay $10 for one of my widgets and I can produce it in China or whatever, the overall cost to me is $8, then my profit margin there on my widget is $2. And it's the same with renovations. It's just that your widgets happen to be properties that you're flipping for profit. Knowledge is power and data is the new gold. So we have made it our mission at the DG Institute to empower people to create wealth and then more than wealth. Freedom through property. One of the ways we do that is by sharing up-to-the-minute information on how to do just that, create financial freedom through property. If you'd like to learn how to buy undervalued properties from motivated sellers in this market right now, then we'd like to invite you to attend our free Real Estate Rescue webinar. To access this, please go now to www.dginstitute.com.au/go. You're going to learn so much, so you won't want to miss this. And for any other questions you might have around property and actually for all of your property needs, please visit our website at dginstitute.com.au. So it's important to know your market intimately. But then what you do is it's a volume game. Like any business, like sales, you've got to fill your pipeline. So you're focusing on the activity, not on the deal. And what we mean by that is people often look for the needle in the haystack, that one property that they think will change everything, that no one else has found, that they'll be able to acquire way under market and be able to sell for a whole lot more. And that's great. They're there. I always say the deal of the decade comes along once a week. but you just have to show up to find it. And that means if one in 100 is the deal of the decade, that means I have to look at 100 properties per week. I don't have to go to 100 and physically inspect them. I can do drive-bys. I can pretty much cull them just by knowing the area or looking at them online. I can say, oh, that's dark, that's in a gully, that's on a busy road. I can filter them pretty quickly. But then I will have a hit list of 20 that I can visit, for example, on a Saturday morning. And that is a work day for me as a flipper. I would go around to all 20 properties. Some I'll miss because I'll do a drive past, I'll decide, no, it's not what I thought it would be. Some I'll pick up. I'll just see agent signs on the footpath saying, you know, come in, and I didn't know it was even on the market. So you have to turn up and have your head in the game. And of the 20, you may find one that you can put an offer in on. So it's a volume game. Another great thing that our flipping students are doing in this market is they are acquiring off market. So they are using software like the software that we have for DG Institute students, Fast Property, where they can, it feeds all sorts of different platforms through the one bit of software where they can do their due diligence, they can do their searches, they can work out the disparity in the market, and they can know what they can do with a particular site. But also they can look for off-market opportunities. So people, for example, who are over 65 in the area, who haven't touched their houses, have lived in them for 30 years, who may be ready to downsize, but who may not want to go through an agent, pay commission, have open for inspections, have the whole marketing exercise. So letter writing can be a good thing to do. Even to homes that look like they need a bit of TLC, dropping a letter in the box. That's working really well in a hot market like this and does give you an edge to be able to buy off market. And the savings on agents, commission and marketing and all of that sort of stuff can be passed on to the homeowner and ultimately give you an edge as the flipper. The other thing with flipping, so first one is finding the site. So as we've said, that's a volume game, and also give yourself an edge by looking off market and getting really laser focused about the disparity of what you're looking for, what you need to pay for an unrenovated product to get it to where it needs to be to achieve the price you need for your profit. The next thing then is to do your due diligence. So make sure that it will be profitable and always be conservative. Have a buffer there because these things blow out. The time value of money. So time is money and you don't always stay on time. A 6-week renovation that turns into a 12-week renovation costs you a lot, and of course that erodes your profits. The other thing to be aware of too is what does the market want? Because every cent you spend on a renovation should give you an ROI. I don't want to spend $10,000 to just get $10,000 increase in the value of the property. It has to be more than that. So I need to spend $10,000 to bump up the value by $20,000, for example. So figure out what the market will pay more for and what it doesn't really value. And an agent can tell you that, but also if you're an area expert, if you're going to open for inspections, you're going to see that every day of the week. You'll see what other buyers want. Agents are going to tell you what people are looking for. And you don't just focus on unrenovated properties. Look at the renovated properties. Look what's getting snapped up within 2 days and what qualities they have. Are they families buying in the area, and what do families want? For example, do they want two living areas if they've got a few kids? And properties with one living area take longer to sell and aren't as popular. Basically, give the hungry market what it wants. Renovate to that market and to your end buyer. And finally, when you're looking at selling the property, make sure that you're doing it with the right agent. So you want to make sure that the agent hasn't dissed you, because some things that happen with flippers are that the agent will see that you've only bought it 2 months ago. So they don't credit you with the value that you've manufactured. Sometimes it's just a bias that they have, especially if you think you're looking after the agent who sold it to you by giving them the listing. Now, for many of our students, that works because the agent is then your bird dog, because they'll go out, they'll find you other deals, unrenovated properties, because agents actually have difficulties with some properties. If there's an angle to it, say for example, if there's hoarders in it, they can't really list it and show it to its best potential, they may decide to sell it off market and you become their go-to person. So it's the relationships that you nurture in the suburb where you're renovating. But what can happen is sometimes it can backfire and the agent that you're looking after just has a limited view of the property because they know. They've got the inside information that you've just given it a spit and a polish and a 10-week makeover, and they know what you've spent for it, and they may not credit you with the full uplift that you've built into the job. And final thing is, if you are flipping, it is a business. It's not emotional. So don't fall in love with your handiwork, even if friends and family tell you how beautiful it is, what a good job you've done, how you deserve so much money. Always be pragmatic about it. You'll never go broke making a profit. And one of my biggest mistakes early on was drinking from that Kool-Aid, hearing everybody, like my mum, saying how beautiful it was and I should get $1 million for it, and holding out for that. Usually your first offer is your best offer. So I've made the mistake of having a first offer the first weekend it was open for inspection and thinking, wow, if I got that on day one, imagine what I can get if I hold out a bit longer. And then the property got stale and I was greedy and I missed out altogether. So I always now say, if it's in the range, if I'm making a profit, time value of money, just take the profit and move on, because that's what you are, a flipper. There's always an opportunity cost to the properties you miss out on for the ones that you do. So make everyone count. And for any other information and all your property needs, please visit our website, dginstitute.com.au, because we've got a lot of other giveaways that can support you on your property journey. Things like negotiation, mental toughness. We've got a lot of mini courses there that can get you in the right space to hit the ground running when it comes to property acquisitions. So good luck, happy hunting on your property journey. Deep dive into all of those resources and we'll catch up in our next episode.